Welcome to episode 261 of the Outback Mind podcast. Thanks so much for joining in. Now today I have a wonderful guest by the name of Zane Harris, well-known singer-songwriter from folk band The Dregs. We're going to talk about Zane's experience through his mental health challenges, but also into creating a wonderful outfit in The Dregs and a well-known outfit in The Dregs, and just the challenges that's been associated with that and all his life experiences in between. So I'm sure you're going to really enjoy this chat, and I really hope you can share this with other people. It's going to be a really enlightening, deep conversation. They're the ones that we really love to have. So appreciate your feedback. If you'd like to email me to support outbackmind.org.au, please follow us on social medias if you can. So we've got Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, the Outback Mind Foundation. And also jump on the website and check out the work we're doing on outbackmind.org.au. We have a new documentary coming out soon called Boiling Point, around helping men to manage risk of offending or in acts of domestic violence, which is a huge thing. So that's going to accompany our existing documentary, Healing Men's Minds. If you'd like to potentially get a screening in your workplace or your community, please reach out via email as well, support@outbackmind.org.au. Alrighty, please enjoy this chat. I'm sure you're going to love this chat with Zane and I. G'day, Zane.
Hello, how you going?
Mate, wonderful to have you on. Really looking forward to this chat. And I've been following the great stuff you've been doing. And, just want to, congratulate you for all that and everything you've been able to do to create what you're doing at the moment.
Thank you very much. It's been a big journey. We've been at it for nearly 7 years now. So, still babies in the grand scheme of things. But, it's been fun.
So, mate, can you tell me about a young Zane, where you were brought up and where life sort of evolved for you?
Yep, I grew up on a tiny little island on the southeast coast of Queensland called Bribie. Grew up there my pretty well entire life, and I only just moved up to the Sunshine Coast maybe 4 years ago now. So pretty well spent my whole life on Bribie.
That would be, if people aren't familiar with Bribie, that would be an amazing experience, I'd imagine, living there as a young fella.
Yeah, it was great. Everyone knew everyone, and it was, if you ever wanted to get to a house party or anything, you could just walk, which was which was the best thing about it.
Yeah, amazing, mate, amazing. So what was life for you as a young bloke? Did you have some challenges? Did you always want to be a muso, or how did it all sort of pan out for you?
Yeah, no, so I left school, went straight into construction, really. I've always been around music and always played music. I played drums growing up, and then in my later teen years got into guitar, and then obviously I was just a lounge room musician, and then I did 6 years concreting. Mm-hmm. And then met Patty, the other fella in the band, and here we are another 7 years later.
Unbelievable, mate. So what was it like for you taking the plunge out of sort of getting, having a secure job into becoming like a full-time or a part-time muso?
Yeah, it was terrifying, to be completely honest. Mm. I also at the time suffered really bad with like panic attacks and anxiety and depression and stuff, and I was sort of losing a bit of meaning. I don't know, I think because I was doing the same stuff day in, day out, getting up, going to work, coming home, going to sleep, fucking over and over and over again. I had really bad anxiety when we first started out, and props off to Patty. He put up with a lot of me being anxious and freaking out about a lot of things when we first started. Hats off to him. He's a patient man, that one.
Amazing, mate. Tell us a bit about that. Like, what was it like, going through the depression and anxiety? Did you have that sort of diagnosed, or was it something which you just sort of self-assessed and managed your way through?
Well, it was sort of strange. I never had anything like that going through school, through high school or anything like that. But I remember just after my 18th birthday, I had my first panic attack, and I actually thought I was having a heart attack. I nearly called the ambulance. I had no idea what was going on. It was sort of one of those ones where you can't breathe and your whole body tenses up and stuff like that. So I actually dealt with that panic attack. So I was having 3 or 4 a day for a good 2 years before I even told anyone. I actually just thought I was going crazy. I just had no idea what it was or what to even call it. But I ended up my missus at the time, I called her one day and I was like, you know what, I can't really do this anymore. It's like having this many panic attacks. I just don't want to leave the house. I can't leave the island because, you know, it's out of my comfort zone and stuff. And she was the one who actually suggested to go talk to someone, which I did.
Jeez, mate, amazing. Just before we get into that, what did it feel like for you? What can you give us an example of what a panic, you know, like an average or a standard panic attack looked like for you?
Yeah, it always started off with a feeling in my stomach. Like I could feel my stomach get a bit tingly and weird, and then that would then spread over to my shoulders to hands. And then obviously the fear comes in, the panic comes in, and you're just like, fucking hell, what the hell, what can I possibly do, you know? Like, yeah, and I just completely tense up. I couldn't open my hands. They were just in a fist. My face would tense up. My eyes would be shut. It was a lot. And, you know, I was having a lot of them as well. So it was like I every time I had one after it, you know, it felt like I'd just run a marathon. You know, my body would be so sore because it was so tensed. And it was just super scary, eh?
Jeez, mate, you're describing something which happened to me as a young fella. It happened twice. But I think it was actually due to a sugar imbalance, to be honest. But
yeah, okay.
Yeah, the hands wouldn't open, that sort of thing, and it was terrifying. But mate, I'd be you just sort of touched on getting help. But where do you think it actually sort of started from? Did it start from something as a young fella, or like a fear or an anxiety or something? Or can you explain that a little bit?
I think like, you know, looking back now, I've always been a scared sort of person, you know. Like I remember even as a kid, sometimes I'd watch a scary movie and then I'd be in bed shaking. Or I've always been a bit of a worrier. But I think, you know, that when real life started, you know, when I moved out of home, when I started like paying for everything, and I think it just all got a bit much for me. As I said, I've always been a bit of a stressor and a bit of a worrier. Yeah, I don't know. It really hit me hard after I turned 18, and then I ended up just living from 18 to 21 pretty much in the house. You know, I wouldn't really leave the house, and if I did, it'd be a big job, like it'd be a mission.
Geez, amazing, mate. I think from what I'm hearing, there was a fear born early on. Are you an only child?
No, I've actually, so a bit of a funny one, my mum and dad split up when I was two.
Yep.
And mum with my new stepdad has a son, so my brother as well, and then my dad ended up going off and he's got something like 11 kids or something.
Right, okay, yeah.
So, it was pretty nuts, you know. Like I went to dad's on school holidays and stuff, and my stepmum, she was sort of, I think she had a bit of bipolar or something like that, so there was a bit of trauma that went on with her. And the therapist actually brought it back to her. I had no idea that was one of the reasons why, you know, I was experiencing panic attack and always scared. It was because of what I dealt with at dad's house on school holidays, which is, pretty nuts.
Yeah. I'm hearing that, mate, from my limited psychological background. You know, certainly there's something that was probably laid early on, you know, with regards to feelings of insecurity and so forth too, you know. So, mate, good on you for for moving through it and getting help. What did it look like when you actually went and got some help?
You know, it was because as I said, Bribie's a small place. I rode my pushbike down to the therapist. She was just down the road from me. And I remember I went in and chatted to her, and I just was crying the whole time. I couldn't stop crying, and she was fantastic. And I think all I needed to start healing was her to tell me I wasn't going crazy. And I remember her saying, like, you're not crazy. Crazy people don't know they're crazy. She said, you've just got anxiety and you've got a severe case of it. And, you got anxiety and panic disorder. And I remember riding my bike home, and it was like I just lifted 100 kilos off my shoulders. Hey? It was like I remember just the biggest smile on my face being like, you know, maybe I don't have to live like this. I don't have to constantly be in fear.
Geez, amazing, mate. And certainly, you know, that's what we need as guys. We actually need someone to talk to and release the tension that's in us, because when we express our emotions, and we can do that where we feel safe, then all of a sudden we start to feel better, and that's naturally available to all of us, you know.
Of course it is. I remember it was pretty hard, because I went in there and she was just asking me questions, and I was just – I had my guard up, and she said, you know, for this to work, you're going to have to drop your guard. You know, like there's no point coming in here if you're just going to talk to me about how your day was, you know. But yeah, it was definitely the first step for me towards healing.
And how long did that process sort of take for you, but until you really started to unlock your attacks?
Yeah, I don't know. I think because I still am a little bit, but I used to be really terrified of flying. And obviously, as a musician, that's all we do. So it was, I learned this breathing technique, which was 4-7-8. Mm-hmm. So yeah, four in, 4 seconds, breathe in, hold your breath for 7 seconds, breathe out for 8 seconds. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I unlocked that, that's what stopped my panic attacks, because I think I was just shallow breathing without knowing before that.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that's definitely been a big, I reckon I'd still be probably having panic attacks if it wasn't for that breathing technique. I do it all the time.
So you really calm. It's a tool for you that you still use today, which is wonderful.
Yeah, definitely. That's the thing. If you can feel something works, there's no point just stopping, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Mate, well done for that, you know, like for being curious enough to explore how you can self-regulate within yourself, because so many people just get put on pills for stuff, you know. And
you know, that was the hard thing is when I first went in for help, the doctor just gave me these antidepressants, and I was just like, I told him I didn't want to go on antidepressants and this and that, and he still gave them to me, and I was like, what the hell? So I ended up having to go to a different doctor to actually get the mental health care plan, which is pretty crazy, because I was doing some research on the pills he gave me, and they were, you know, they were something like crazy, like 75 milligrams.
Mm.
And it's just like, you know, that would be my first dose, and then I would have been, you know, basically addicted to these things. And I was like, it's just, what the hell?
Yeah, mate. Well done for being curious about that too. Like, there is a place for it sometimes, but obviously, I think there's a lot we can do within ourselves to get in touch with ourselves. It will really, the mind will follow the breath, and the body will follow the mind. And as guys, we're disconnected from our bodies, you know. And we're disconnected from our breath because our mind's so busy. But when you're conscious of your breathing, then all of a sudden, you know, things can change, and that's available to all of us, as I mentioned before.
Yeah, definitely.
Amazing, mate. That's really, really well done. So once you sort of got that in check, when did the music career really start to kick in for you?
It was sort of throughout, you know. Like, we've been on a steady incline, I think, with our career, which has been fantastic. We've never really had a big blow up moment or anything like that, but yeah, it's been a gradual journey over 7 years, and I think it's kind of exciting because we're about to release our first album, and then we've nearly got a second one written, which is unreal. So I think our best music is yet to come, which is even more exciting than anything else.
Well, mate, Diesel's been on this once or twice, and he's 57, and he still says the best music for him is yet to come.
Awesome. Yeah, so, it's just going to be an ongoing battle, I think, eh?
It's a lifelong journey, which is wonderful because, you know, you achieve something and you put it in the back pocket, but if you stop there, then, you know, you don't grow. But if you've got a talent and, you know, you love what you're doing, that's a gift.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if we have a lot of friends in the scene that just play music to play music, but I always say to them, if you don't love it, why are you doing it? Like, it doesn't really make sense.
No, that's right. And it's just like a guy going to a job during the day that doesn't enjoy it. You know, like they get up, they get a paycheck, they come home, they, you know, they do basic stuff. But really, at the end of the day, as humans, our real purpose is to thrive and to do things which can help us, you know, continually grow. And we can get into a funk really easily, and that can sort of take our mental health backwards. Which is a common thing, you know, with all the challenges we've got in society and all the little bits and pieces. But, mate, getting back to the basics like you're doing with the breathing, that really just helps you come back to feeling calm again, and that's the natural state where we're meant to be in.
Yeah, I know, and it's sometimes it gets a bit hard to stay in that state. But, yeah, there's so many tools out there to help, you know. Like, we've even been diving a bit. Like, training is one thing as well that I wasn't going to gym and stuff at the time when I was really bad. And you know, even just going back to gym, getting in a routine with physical health as well, I think helps a lot mentally. You know, like it's sometimes we don't feel like going to the gym, but if you can push through it and get it done, it's a game changer, eh?
It's usually the first 10, 20 minutes. And once you've got through that, then everything just sort of comes back to balance.
Yep.
Amazing. No, that's good to hear, mate. And you're only 27, so you're discovering all this now, which is really good. And mate, I'd like to know, with the music industry, have you found many challenges with drinking and drugs since you've been in it?
So I've been now sober since my 18th, or yeah, probably 18th birthday. I used to smoke a fair bit and drink and party and all that sort of stuff. But it is hard, man. It's always offered to you, and especially alcohol. Alcohol is free, and in our green rooms, they're like, "All right, what do you guys want?" It's just part of the industry, I guess. But we've been lucky. Both myself and Patty, we're not huge drinkers. I think the most Patty will have is a couple beers before we go on, and that's rare as well. So I think we're both very lucky. We're both pretty level headed with that, but we have been surrounded by some people who aren't like that, and it's not we're in this for the long run. I think it's not. If you're going to party and stuff like that, it's not sustainable.
Yeah, agree, mate. And I think having that mental clarity is really, really beneficial, because that's where your creativity comes from, I guess, when you're sort of more in that space and you can start to be a bit more connected with your intuition. I think alcohol plays a big part in depressing us, but also suppressing us and our emotions, and all of a sudden we can sort of get swept away on some negative thoughts and negative mindsets too. And mate, this is coming from someone that's 52, that I had a real challenge with it as a young fella all the way through. I didn't want to really participate, but there wasn't much for me to do as a kid. And I remember being your age, just thinking, I want to get the hell out of this. But there was a big fear of losing your connections with everyone because of it, so. And that was a big thing back in the 80s, when I was that age. So, yeah. It was a terrible thing to be able to be, I suppose, anchored by something which, wasn't serving you. And I'm really pleased to hear there's more and more young guys like yourself that are starting to, wake up a little bit earlier and start to, get in contact and connected with, being the best you can be, and the wonderful things that can come from that.
Yeah, that's the thing. As much as, our generation is caught up in, all the social medias and that sort of thing, I think it's kind of, there's been a new wave come through of, people trying to be better and training and doing ice baths and running and all that sort of thing. I think it's kind of cool that everyone's turning a new leaf, and I think especially after COVID, I've noticed it a lot more within my friends. Everyone's, drinking less and exercising more, which is obviously a great thing.
Yeah, waking up a lot, which is wonderful, mate, because, when I was your age, it was all about, who looked the silliest when you got smashed. And
of course,
It was, a different world. But, certainly we didn't have the connectivity like you do now with regards to being able to talk to people instantly, find out information instantly. So you're only like a victim of your own environment. You never had the real life stuff, the good stuff exposed to you, but now you can find it a lot quicker, which is great in a way, but also detrimental in a way. And how are you with social media? Do you find that you sort of get a bit sucked into it, or how's it work for you?
Yeah, it was a bit hard there for a bit, because it's obviously it's our, as a part of being a musician now, you also have to be a content creator. Which you do, you find yourself on social media a fair bit. I went through a stage during COVID. I sort of had a bit of an identity crisis. I didn't really know who I was, what I was doing. We couldn't play shows and that.
Yep.
Where I got really sucked into it. Whereas, I think we're both, everyone in our crew is pretty good with it now. Like it is easy. Obviously, it's addictive. It's more addictive than anything else I've dealt with. But yeah, I think it's all about balance, eh?
Yeah, that's true. I'm getting away from it, mate. Like, I'm the same. I've got to utilise it for content and bits and pieces too for the charity I do. But, it can be a bit of a trap, so it's being conscious of that. What are you doing now to look after your well-being?
I try, because it's hard with being a muso, We're always travelling and there's not really too much time for routine, but when I am home, I'm training heaps. I'm into boxing. I love my boxing and we try and go for runs on the road and stuff, but a lot of the time we're just trying to catch up on sleep. But bad food, man, that's the hardest thing is eating healthy when you're away, and especially, you know, when we go to Europe and stuff like that, it's just so much food and not enough easy, fast, you know, healthy food. It's always stopping us at, you know, garages and shit like that where when you've only got an hour to stop. So it's just eating is the hardest thing for me at the moment, I think.
One thing here to consider, mate, is just being able to observe when you're anxious and how that can play a part in your eating too, because if you're rushing it, your body responds to that.
Yeah.
But if you can be calm and relaxed and eat, you'll probably find that you don't need as much fuel.
Yeah.
You know, that's my own observation. But everybody, you know, I'm saying everybody, physical body is different. So it's a matter of sort of what works for you. But, yeah, it's being able to be disciplined too. Like I used to take stuff with me everywhere. And made sure that the healthy options were always available, because it's not easy out there when you're traveling about and really everything that's available is not healthy at all.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, mate. I'd really like to know a bit more about your your relationships and that type of thing. Has it been easy for you as a muso to maintain that, or has it been something which has been a challenge?
Yeah, so I had a partner from school, so I dated her from when I was in grade 11 till 4 years ago basically. Mm-hmm. Now, so I was with her for quite a while, nearly I think 7 years or 8 years or something I was with her, but it in the end it got a bit much, I think. There was obviously a lot of factors in why we aren't together anymore, but I think one of them was, you know, me always being away, and she was used to me being, you know, the concreter who comes home every afternoon. So I think it got a bit much for the both of us, I think. But you know, I've got a partner now, and she came in knowing that I'm always going to be away and stuff like that. So I think it's just so important to be open and honest about absolutely everything, especially if, you know, there's so many people that do fly in, fly out and that sort of thing, and they can make it work. So at the end of the day, it's just a job. It's part of the job.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? And women really need that emotional stability too. And and so do we when we're traveling. We need that support as well. So it's a bit of an interesting one, but it can be challenging, that's for sure. So
yeah,
so for good, sure. Good on you for having that awareness, you know, at the age you're at. So with regards to traveling and all that, mate, I didn't realise you were getting overseas. Is it like easy to make a living what you're doing, or is it like challenging sometimes?
It wasn't for a long time. We were sort of always scratching around and trying to find money places and that sort of thing. But I think, like, because we've just pursued through and put up, you know, we've been through the hard yards. We've done the hard yards. I think last year we played something like 207 shows or something crazy. But, yeah, I think now it's getting cool. We're at a cool level with our music where everywhere we go, we're at least getting some people to our shows, like especially Europe and stuff. Those shows aren't really big. Australia's getting really good now. Like we're sitting pretty good in Oz. But yeah, we've only been to Europe and UK twice now, so we're going over for a third time in May, which is going to be exciting. And some of those shows are sold out. And yeah, obviously every job has its challenges, and we definitely had our fair share of challenges coming up, and we're still having them. But yeah, I think we're getting to a cool level now where, you know, we're starting to really get our name out there.
So it's just the two of you doing everything?
Yeah, so it was the two of us. We were, before this year, we were managing, tour managing, basically booking everything else, whereas now we've got, as of the start of last year, sorry, we've got management, we've got tour management, we've got booking agents, because it was all just getting a bit too much for us, and we weren't writing music because we were so focused on the business side of things, and sort of we had it all backwards. So whereas now we've got a team behind us that are a fantastic team as well, so we can just focus on writing music. And you know, it's proven itself, because we've written two albums in 2 years, as opposed to no albums in 7 years. So
yeah, incredible when you get freed up like that. It just you know, the stuff that distracts you takes you away from your alignment and your energy, I guess.
Definitely.
So, mate, tell us a bit about what's coming up for you moving forward with the tour and all that type stuff.
Yeah, we've actually got a fair bit on. We've got a fully sold out album launch tour, which starts on the 26th of April. And then we go over to Europe, UK for the whole of May. Mm-hmm. And then we come back to Oz and we do a massive Australian tour and New Zealand tour in front. That goes from the 14th of June all the way to the 2nd of August. So we're pretty flat out. And yeah, the end of the year is equally as busy, but they're the only shows that we've announced so far.
So tell us, where are the shows coming up?
We've got Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast, Brisbane, Torquay, and Northcote in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. All those ones are completely sold out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then we've got UK, Europe, with so many shows over there. I think we're doing something like 27 shows in 30 days, so it's going to be pretty full on. But then when we come back in June, we play in Adelaide, Perth, Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, go over to Christchurch, Queenstown, Wellington, Auckland. So we're going to be bloody everywhere in the next couple of months. So yeah, it's important now more than ever to keep our mental and physical health in check.
Yeah, agree, mate. And that routine will be pivotal for you while you're sort of shooting about and just trying to have those structures on a daily basis you can stick to keep you in alignment, I guess.
Definitely.
Mates, I've really loved this chat and I hope people reach out and look at your work and maybe get to one of your shows. How can people get hold of you? What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, well, we get on to our with Instagram. We're all over social, so The Dregs Music, that's where you'll find that. And then we've got a website as well, thedregsmusic.com is where all of our tickets, and we've got vinyls, we've got everything coming out at the moment. So, I reckon if you want to buy tickets, thedregsmusic.com will be your best bet, I think.
Awesome, mate. I'll be checking that out. I haven't actually looked at the website, but I will, and I'll be getting it around to people as well. So I'm really looking forward to catching up with you, mate, and hopefully you'll get some shows up in Central Queensland at some point in time. I think it'd be wonderful.
And, definitely.
Yeah, there is an opportunity for an event. It's on at the end of August, if you're interested, which is called something for a common good. Anyway, they're sponsoring us there. They're giving a donation, tree party for the common good, it's called. So they're sponsoring us through donations from the event. They're actually looking at a couple of live acts. So I might be able to put you in touch with a guy there that's looking after that, and that could pull you up here, mate. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Appreciate it, mate. Thanks so much for the chat. Please reach out to Zane. So everyone listening, reach out to Zane. Check out his wonderful work. Check out The Dregs. And, mate, you hit the nail on the head. The best yet to come, I reckon, for sure.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.